back at the line. Cross-ice pass and a slap to Yerevente. Scores. Roby Yerevente takes the one-time pass. And bang, very quickly, Finland is on the board with the power play goal.
Nice little stutter step there by Hamara.
Matias Sipavalov must score. Works it in, goes to the backhand. Save made. As staying with him was Marilainen, and Finland with a two-point victory in extra time.
Greg steps out of the box. The centering pass goes to Cooley. Phil Cooley in, shoot, score! Cooley busts in, and Canada makes it 2-0.
Oh, there's a chance of a second goal.
That's a stat shot.
Yeah.
Taps it in.
Good for him. He generates a lot of chances. A stop shot. You know, he's right close to scoring often.
TSN 1200.
Welcome back, hour two, TSN Mornings on TSN 1200. Lever Sage in for vacationing JR. Sean Simpson in his rightful spot here. And Big Red Cam manning the ship here on a Friday morning. It's a wrench-throwing Friday. You heard some of the highlights from Canada's 11-1 victory over Slovakia to move to 2-0 at the World Junior Hockey Championship. Also, some of the Sens prospects, Levi Marilainen in goal. Finland beats the Czech Republic 4-3 in a shootout. U.S. beats Switzerland by a score of 7-1. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers have a loss. They are now 9-1. The Montreal Alouettes beat them in overtime last night by a score of 20-17 on a couple of botched field goals at the end of the game from Winnipeg's point of view. Awfully disappointing from that perspective. The Cubs beat the Reds 4-2 at the Field of Dreams in Iowa last night. And Bill Russell's number 6 to be retired across the NBA following his death next month. So nobody last month. So nobody will ever wear the number 6 in the NBA again, Simmer.
Yeah, and important right off the hop here, a couple of wrenches at you, Lee.
Okay.
First wrench, you're not mentioring Matt Hamer, which is the hammer, for being away. We were texting yesterday, told him what a great job. Well, it doesn't. You always do a great job, but the Camster filling in, doing a good job. So a wrench to you for not mentioning that Hammer is on vacation.
I'd like to thank Roger Goodell, Commissioner Goodell.
And then you trying to masquerade this need-to-know stuff, which you didn't lead in with it, but that's technically what you're doing instead of doing a sports report, which is supposed to happen on the morning show. So a wrench to you for trying to slide in stuff from your show.
I find tinsel distracting.
Yeah, so number one, and I am going to refute a couple of both of these wrenches. I've mentioned Matt Hamer's name like 8 million times in the last 2 weeks.
No, twice today.
No,
you mentioned JR.
I mentioned Hamer the first time.
No, you didn't. Well, you didn't mention it. You got to mention it at the top of the hour.
I didn't realize these particular rules at the top of the hour were in such full effect on a Friday. But I apologize, Matt Hamer, if you're listening, the one time I didn't mention your name, like of the 800 in the last 2 weeks, I hope you're having a good time. And I know we're supposed to do these sports reports, but JR kind of said, well, just do what you want. Like, this is what we do, but kind of do what you want.
Yeah.
So I took that as I don't want to do the sports reports whatsoever. So we don't do them now. And then a couple of just... I never even said need to know, just a couple of interesting things from last night.
I've heard your show. You were without saying it, you were saying it. So.
Well, that time I might have done a little bit more.
It was bullet point, I guess.
Bullet points. And I wanted to get to this because we didn't get to this bullet point as well. You and I haven't had a chance to talk about it. How about the Robin Leonard news? Season-ending hip surgery. He's going to miss the entire year coming up for the Vegas Golden Knights.
Yeah.
Not the greatest time.
No, and here is with Robin Leonard. First of all, so respectful. But if you had done your homework, if you're Vegas, and you really look back to the oft-injured, you know, the weight up and down, everything he's gone through from his time in Ottawa to Buffalo to the New York Islanders, not only the risk of signing him to the contract when you did, Lee, I don't think any of us can look at this and say we're surprised. I mean, from knees to hips to shoulders, you know, I think realistically they've got themselves in a boatload of trouble. And I put out on Twitter right away yesterday, and I don't know if they'll do it, but my gosh, when you look at a guy like Cam Talbot and you wonder if Minnesota, and I'm sure they're happy to have Gus the Bus, but there is a spot city there. And people have thrown out names like Jake Allen. And I said, listen, no, they want a good goalie. And Jake Allen's a good backup goaltender. Vegas says fancies of winning a Stanley Cup, right? Yeah. You're not talking about, and I'm not saying Max Talbot is, you know, the greatest goalie, but he was an all-star last year. And at the cap hit he's at, and on a one-year contract, incredible value.
Oh,
and
Cam Talbot, okay.
Sorry. No, did I say Max?
You did.
Okay. Now you look at Carey Price, you look at Bobrovsky, but, you know, you're looking at a situation here that is incredibly desperate, unless they think Thompson, who I don't know well enough, but I can't imagine. Now, maybe they'll start the season with it, but, no, if you're Otto and you're sitting there, my gosh, like I said, that is incredible value. And in a big picture move, I'd move him in a heartbeat, but I also know that Ottawa is trying to win hockey games here, and they're trying to look at their own kind of group. But if you kind of looked at where your program is at, Lee,
yep.
Like I said, moving a guy that is 1 year left to be unrestricted at 34 years old, like I said, for Vegas, man, that's where you pull the old Tom Curver. Say, that'll be fine, but we want a first-round pick for it. And people may say, oh, that's crazy, that's outrageous. Well, try to look around the National Hockey League and
exactly.
Find what other fits there are. The term on Carey Price, the injuries. Bobrovsky, the term, the money. I know they'd have to pick up. Cam Talbot would be the absolute best fit when you're talking about Vegas right now.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you at all. It's one of the first things I thought about, because you go look at Vegas's depth, and it's Laurent Brossoit, it's Logan Thompson. Mm-hmm. They have Michael Hutchinson, but they've just brought in a new coach. They missed the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah.
They cannot afford to miss the playoffs again.
No, and they're just built. They're built to absolutely win, Lee. Like, it's not even just making, you know, missing the playoffs, which it is. I mean, that's going to cost jobs. But, you know, no, you've built this thing. You made the Eichel trade. You've got Stone, who, you know, I think we can confidently say is on the back nine. You flipped out Pacioretty. You're trying to do some different things here. Yeah, no, they're looking at goaltenders. And I guess the question is, in the division they're at, do you start the season and hope you survive till the deadline? And then see if somebody's available. But I have to think that teams are looking at, and like I said, you know, and you spelt the same thing, like Talbot is that one you just point at and say, wow, there's a great fit there. And if you're Ottawa, you just sit back, hey, I, you know, and I don't know, I doubt Ottawa probably moves them, but you have to look at that and wonder, and maybe it is something they revisit during the season.
Yeah, I mean, it would be a really tough thing to turn around and trade him again. But
it wouldn't, though, in the big picture, but it would where you're at right now for Ottawa. So I agree with what you're saying, but I also say, hey, if you in a normal circumstance of where you're at in your rebuild, if somebody come chasing after a 34-year-old goaltender and offered something crazy, yeah, you do it in a heartbeat.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. That's what I was going to say. Yeah. Like, small picture, it would be difficult to turn around and do that to somebody that you just traded for.
Yeah.
But at the same time, asset management and where you're looking down the road, I would be calling Vegas and just saying, look.
And it wouldn't even be tough for the player, Lee, because to be quite honest with you, he is not the starting goaltender here right now. That doesn't mean he won't challenge.
Right.
But he goes to a situation like Vegas on a good team. And knowing Robin Leonard might not ever play again, well, first of all, he's going to be the starting goaltender hands down.
Yep.
And you might write your own contract extension if you're Cam Talbot. So, hey, switching gears, I agree. And if you set up shop in Ottawa, but it would actually be a real blessing. And he's probably looking at it and thinking, boy, why could this have not happened a couple of months ago? Because that would have been an obvious trade between Vegas and Minnesota.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So the one thing that, like, if you're Pierre Dorion, you have to pick up the phone and just say, hey, we want this if you're interested.
Yeah.
So what would that be for you, a first-round pick?
Yeah, I would say that, Lee. And you know, that sounds semi-outrageous, but it would have to be. Now, you have to make sure, and this is a part of, when you start to build a team and you're at the spot that Pierre Dorion's right now, trading for futures, that no matter how bold of a trade I might think it is, might not play for you for 5 years, you know, then you have to be a little bit careful. Now, where you could also look at this, and I was kind of thinking of, if you can do something with Vegas and get an overpayment for Talbot, if you can mix in that Brown pick, if that gets you closer to getting Jake Chychrun, then there's lots of reasons why that would end up making sense.
Yeah, what do you mean? Like, spell it out a little bit.
Well, if you ever were to get to Vegas' first-round pick and you cart that along with the Connor Brown second-round pick Washington, I think you're more than halfway, from what I understand, maybe mix in a prospect. But I think you probably could have a deal at that point. That's all.
Yeah, no, it's a really good point.
And like I say, it sounds outrageous, but there's rare circumstances. Like I said, from a Vegas perspective, it is absolute desperation time when something like this happens. And it really points as well to, you know, again, I'm happy Robin got paid, but I can't for the life of me think that you look at this and understand big picture, all of his years here in Ottawa and everywhere else, that you're at all shocked. Like, it just, you know, no. he just the way he plays, you know, how, you know, aggressive he can be as a bigger guy.
And he's had problems before.
Very much so, yeah. And he's had a real fluctuation when he was here in Ottawa and Buffalo, and lots of different reasons for it, but he's had such an incredible fluctuation of his weight, and that has led to a lot of stress injuries as well.
Can you think of other goaltenders that might be available?
Well, Bobrovsky and Price, but now you're talking about picking up half the freight. Now you're talking about a lot of term. You know, people mention Jake Allen, but as I said, if I'm Vegas, I don't see that as a solution. But now it's better than what I have. So if that's what you got to do in the short term, but I couldn't come up with anything beyond that. You know, some people mention Samsonov, but I can't imagine the lease with the fragility of a guy like Murray that you'd even touch that as well. So. Yeah, I think they're in a bit of a tough spot here on trying to figure that out. Say Nedeljkovic ever be available with Husso? Possibility? I'm just trying to kind of comb through what there might be out there, Lee, and that's about all I can come up
with. So if you were Ottawa and you were able to pull this off, what would you then do for your own goaltending?
Well, yeah, that is a great question, Lee, and I don't have an answer for it. I'm not going to force Sogard. Or push anything like that. So, no, you'd have to have. And that's just to say. But you ask yourself, listen, if that got a deal done with a Jake Chicker and I solidify that, yeah, you have to come up with some backfill plan. And, you know, you're really confident right now that you really like Talbot coming off of an all-star season the way Forsberg played. But would you prefer to solidify that top 4D for the next 4 years with Chicker? And that would be my preference. You know what I mean? That because it's not just a short-term solution. It's more long-term, but yeah, you'd have to figure out something. Maybe you get in the horn with the Montreal Canadiens and say, hey, would you flip Jake Allen our way?
Yeah, I mean, something, right? Yeah, to be able to solidify it, you'd have to bring somebody else in. But it feels like, I don't know, the more you talk about it, the more it feels like there might be an opportunity get assets.
Yeah, when you do this, Lee, it's hard to change gears because I've been in that spot as well, and I understand you're excited about your team, you're set.
Yeah,
but this is where you have to get into the, you know, the war room here and go through a healthy discussion of, and as I say, it's just predicated on you're going to have a very desperate hockey team and there are not a lot of great fits out there. And that's the one right away. I was like, wow, that right. And now there is also, I think, some animosity between the two organizations based on the Dadonov trade, some things behind the scenes and everything else. So, but at the end of the day, that would be even more reason after you gave it to them on the daddy trade, why you could turn around and help him out again with old Mr. Talbot.
Somebody texts in Shea Theodore for Brännström and Talbot.
Yeah, you know what? That name's mentioned a lot, Lee, and I just find it hard. Much like now Uyghur ended up getting moved based on his contract. But for a team trying to win, I really can't get my head around on why they're trading. I guess their second best defenseman after Petrangelo. I find that a little bit. People have bought up White Cloud's name.
Yep.
You know, as far as a fixed cost, if it was Shabbat, I don't know him well enough, so I hate to comment on stuff like that. But, hey, there's different things there. My thought is the asset that you get. Now, I don't know what they really have in their system. But as I said, if that piece can be played with Arizona along with, you know, the second or whatever else, you got a lot of picks going forward and maybe mix in one of the young D prospects, then, boy, I think if Ottawa, it's at least something to talk about us here as we're in mid-August. And it's also important for us to fill, because we have had a quality 17 hours or 21 hours now of radio magically. You've done incredible work 2 weeks in a row. So if this helps us get towards 10 a.m., then, hey, kudos to us.
Well, let's throw wrenches.
Okay.
And get to one that's very important here.
Yeah, let's get some good ones here. I want some good ones.
Okay, so we're going to start off with one that's going to be hard to beat from Greg. Like, I put this one at the top of the list, and then we'll see how the rest of the show goes.
Okay.
A wrench to Lee, because, well, it's Lee.
Choo-choo!
That's it. Thanks, Greg. Appreciate that quite a bit. And I'd like to throw a wrench back at, and I don't know, Simmer, you might take umbrage with this, but are we allowed to throw wrenches back at listeners?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, okay. In that particular case, like for the
not Greg. I got another one. Okay. Coming here, because Triple D has texted about six times here, talking about the left turns in NASCAR, and I'm already getting a little tired of Triple D's texts here coming in. So I'd like to throw a wrench at Triple D.
I'm shipping out to...
That could be AJ's song, right?
I'm shipping out to Qatar.
Sounds even worse in tape than it did originally. Live
no,
now.
It's fantastic. Now, okay, let me read a couple of Triple D's.
Okay.
Throw a wrench at the wrestling boy over there for thinking left turns are better than Formula One. By the way, Triple D, 7 road courses this year in NASCAR. So your little left turn funny joke there doesn't work. They're going to race on the streets of Chicago right past Wrigley Field next year in NASCAR. And heaven forbid, Triple D, that we watch a race that you have a chance to pass a guy on like this lap or the next lap, and we don't have to wait 52 laps for a guy in one corner in corner 9 of a 28-turn course that he might be able to pass him one time.
I know this is going to sound completely foolishly.
Triple D, thank you.
But in the case of NASCAR,
yep.
You are going, do they go counterclockwise or do they go clockwise?
They go counterclockwise.
Yeah. And
so they turn left on ovals.
Which makes sense because they're on the actual driver's side, right?
Yes.
Where in F1, you're in the middle of the car. Does the F1 go counterclockwise or does it matter, you know?
What do you mean, the F1?
Because
on road courses, they turn both ways.
No. I mean in general direction. Like, are they going clockwise or counterclockwise? You know, because I'm actually thinking of
they're going clockwise.
Yeah, that's what I thought
for the most part.
Because you usually see them lining up and they're coming away from you. So no big deal. But I just was curious on that. But yeah, and also the thing and a wrench to the cars in NASCAR because they're pretty lame. Hey Cam,
you're right, Hammer.
Yeah, they are. They just don't.
No,
like,
they're new cars this year, Simmer.
Yeah,
they're not really good.
But the problem is that those darn F1 cars
are so incredible.
Oh my God,
they are.
And what happens with the NASCAR things now? It just looks like a big sheet of tin that's been painted and put over the car. And I know they're incredible, Lee, but that is a problem. Like these F1 cars are just like so cool looking. Even if you're on a terrible team,
it's so cool, to get Verstappen out to the lead, and then you know he's never going to be passed ever.
Yeah, I wasn't really talking. I wasn't talking about the results.
But I know.
But you're right about that. And also, when you watch that F1 documentary, what you find out with like McLaren and mm-hmm. some of the other teams that are in there, Haas, who is long gone, is they call themselves the next best of the rest. Like their goal is not even. And this is where European sports are so different, and I don't know how they do it. Like the EPL, you're conditioned that your team has no chance to ever win.
Right.
But if you can be in the next, 6 to 10, you're thrilled. Like, we could never do that. NASCAR could never do that, right? You're not going to, hey, I got my seat for next year because I finished 7th the whole year. You know what I mean? That mentality. And that's what F1 is. Like, F1 is quite, I didn't even realize until I started watching it that Red Bull actually had a second team in there.
Yeah.
And they must have a hard time rounding out the 20 seats.
But there's only a couple teams, couple of guys that can win.
Oh, no. At the end of the day right now, it's Red Bull, it's Mercedes, and it ends up being Ferrari. After that, now, I could be missing something. But, no, you're absolutely right. It's set up. That's the whole thing, the engineering, the money. And I don't know on North American sports, we're just not accustomed to that. Our premise is, and again, on sports in North America, for the most part, the big four, or I'll say at least through the NBA, the NFL, and the NHL, the idea is if I'm bad, I draft and I get good, right? And it's not that I get relegated. That's the other one that could you get your head around on, teams being relegated? Like, good luck on that one.
Yeah. And not to get too far down the path here, we can get back to some of the wrenches. The one thing I do like about NASCAR and the way that it's set up, so they have a playoff system. And if you win a race, you're into the playoffs, kind of no matter what your points are. But this year, with 3 races to go, 16 guys make the playoffs. There has been 15 different winners. So the rest of the guys would make it in on points, but there's only one position left based on points. Mm-hmm. And if they actually get 2 new winners in the last 3 weeks, mm-hmm. then they're somebody who has won a race and thought they were in the playoffs are not going to be. Mm-hmm. I just like the variety of the fact that already 15 different guys have won races.
Yeah.
And that's just not the case.
Sounds like collusion, though. I'm
collusion?
Well, it sounds like something funny going on there, Lee.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Right. Let's get back to
something.
So
I'm assuming the 16th person will win the race this time. So
no, don't be like that.
Now we're starting. It just sounds like harness racing. Hey? Well, they already all know who's going to win.
So Big Rick is in. If NASCAR is setting up shop in Chicago and planning on passing by Wrigley Field, they better have high security, because when the cars hit the pits, they're going to take the rims off, but I'm not sure they're going to be going back on. Big Rick's in.
That's awesome, Rick. You rev up your engine and realize your tires are gone. That's excellent.
It's a pretty good text, Big Rick, and it's taking solid. A bit of a cheap shot, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Triple D's laughing. Ha, it's all good. Just busting you up. Keep up the good work. Formula One slowly implementing a cap so big teams won't be able to outspend the other small teams.
Good luck on that one.
Yeah, I don't know that will happen, but I hope that does happen.
Now, one of the issues, well, now you make an argument, and this is one of the issues in NASCAR too, and I know with the track itself it's differently, but, you know, that's one of the problems that's happened with F1, the regulation of the cars, and this is my big Senna documentary. You know, he was a great driver when it was pure driving, and he often talked about that, right? And then the evolution of the vehicle became just more than kind of buttons and engineering and hydraulics and everything else. Well, I know what you're saying. Part of it is the cost of the cars. Nobody wants to get smashed up. Second is, you know, you just don't have that as much now. It's not the same thing where when you look back to him, you look back to Lada, you know, and what a great driver he was. And what he was able to accomplish. What's also very cool is all of these guys, Lee, which I never really understood. I understood with Senna, but I didn't know this next wave that every one of these guys comes out of go-karting, eh? Is that what the NASCAR guys do as well growing up?
They dirt track.
Dirt track, okay, yeah. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, they race like quarter-mile dirt tracks, and some of them go-kart as well.
Yeah, but it's really cool to see, you know, that's where you start. You're like, well, is that? I'm like, come on, that can't be. But that's how they had the whole Red Bull team when Verstappen was a kid, and four or five of them are on there. They're all in, you know, on the F1 right now.
I loved
go-karting.
That's
exactly how they started out.
Loved go-karting when I was a kid.
Oh, absolutely. Now, I was a little bit terrified when it was too fast, but when you got to the tracks where you really felt like you were going, yeah, it's a blast.
I miss the days, we had the listeners out.
Well, I was going to say that.
Go-karting?
Yeah, we went out for the end of the year hockey party for Zach with the Leitrim Hawks, and we were at the Top Karting over in Quebec there, and that's fun, you know, and those cars are fun, and the track itself, and just had a blast.
Yeah, we've had a couple of TSN events there, right?
I think it's only been slowed down because of COVID. I'm assuming we'll be back in. But
I'm hoping it will be. I remember, Simmer, I was feeling good.
Yeah.
Won my heat. Get into the final.
Yeah.
And, you know, the listeners win a chance. And, of course, there are other great drivers out there. But I'm like, I could win this whole thing here. Got beat by a listener who brought his own helmet, neck device, and GoPro camera and gloves to the event.
Yeah.
I was feeling a little bit, I don't know, like I got thrown under the bus like this.
Well, you gotta pick the right car, but I agree. And that's one of the guys that has one of those driving simulators at home, which if I was into the F1 or NASCAR, I'd have in a heartbeat. I think Craig Anderson has it. Like, my God, like the realization, even watching some of the, you know, it's like the guys that train for, you know, jet fighter pilots, right? The simulation machines. Oh, I'd be on that thing all day if I was into it. It's so cool, and I don't know exactly how realistic it is, but it seems to float their boat there when you got the pedals and you got the steering wheel, which the steering wheel is now more like a video game, right, in F1? I don't know how it is. NASCAR still has a natural steering wheel, but the one in F1 is like you just push these little buttons.
There's no top and bottom.
Yeah, I'm assuming it just drives itself.
17 of the 22 tracks in F1 are clockwise, says...
Okay.
Texter.
That's cool.
12,
I wonder how that affects drivers, right? Or, you know, I'm assuming you have a strength or are used to going one particular way. And again, they're in the middle of the car. Have you ever driven on the other side of the road? I've never done that. Have you?
I have never.
Okay. That part there, I probably wouldn't even try. I remember being in London a few times and it took enough just to remember to look the right way. Thankfully, they have guardrails up in London. To make sure, because you cannot, it's almost impossible at an older age to train yourself, right? You were used to looking. And in London, where the streets are tight and you got all these turns, you walk out, man, you're in some trouble, obviously, right? Because you've looked the wrong way. And next thing you know, smush, getting hit by the old taxi.
We are going to have Liam McGuire at 8:15 here on TSM Mornings talk about the National Capital Hockey Show and everything going on with the World Juniors. Can I get a wrench to Lee for not holding his water on the morning show this week? Steve from Orleans.
Bunch of phonies. That's what they are.
What do you mean not holding your water?
Well, remember we were talking about
holding the water earlier in the week? I thought you having to take a break to go to the bathroom.
No,
you're right. Yeah. No, the holding water. Yeah, that was pretty good. Okay. I think you were talking kind of more like meaning to say like more high water mark.
Yeah,
or,
something
know.
Like that.
Yeah.
Can I get a wrench to the overly dramatic toilet paper commercial from Steve?
Well, Eric, the time is nigh.
Well, Steve, if you remember it and you're texting in, the commercial's done everything it's wanted to do at that point. And morning, guys. Wrench to International Beer Day last week for introducing me to Cronenberg. It's my new favorite, your local FedEx guy.
It's a kick in the balls for us.
Yeah, I don't know if that's wrench-worthy. That's actually good. You know,
I guess he doesn't
one.
Feel like it's a good thing
is
that he's found a new
is
beer.
Is Cronenberg a wheat beer?
Yes, Cronenberg
yeah.
Blanc.
Yeah, always solid.
And they have a red fruits version of it. It is.
I've generally gone with the Hoegaarden, right?
Yep.
Yeah,
another
that's always
beer.
Solid there. It comes out nicely, like Kool-Aid. Throw a nice orange in there on top, and you're just
simmer.
Good to
now
go.
You're talking.
Perfect breakfast beer, actually.
You
I kind of
feeling it.
Yeah.
We'll take a break. Come back, talk some hockey and football, and we'll throw some more wrenches. Lever Sage, Sean Simpson, and Big Red Cam in for Matt Hamer. Just so I get that out every single break here on TSN Mornings on TSN 1200.
This is TSN 1200.
Oh, a double dose of Friday here. Welcome back to TSN Mornings on TSN 1200.
Bringing Camster, bringing her right on time there, hey?
Is this what time it's supposed to be on?
You can go 7:43 or 9:43, but that's out. No, a double up, so no.
Oh,
that's,
okay.
That's outstanding right there. Get everybody fired up. Did you see that beautiful sky and that beautiful moon driving in this morning, Lee?
I saw it last night.
She's a full one, right, I think?
It was a blood moon last night.
Ooh.
Exactly. I think it was the last, I stand to be corrected,
this
the last blood moon
solstice,
of the year.
Summer solstice or whatever, getting close to that?
I think that's already happened, the summer solstice.
Okay, the fall equinox or something? the Brian Baru day?
It was a really full... moon that looked a little red last night when it was first coming up.
But that's kind of cool.
When I woke up this morning, my path was directed all the way in with that moon. It was very, very bright.
Really?
This morning? Okay. Oh, it was just crazy.
The moon was behind me coming in. It would have been directly off to my west, so that's interesting for you.
Oh,
Then it was nice to see because we're getting into mid-August here, but still just enough of that bright sky. As I turn out at 4:58 a.m. And head a little bit east and then head south, that I just saw that. I really appreciate that because in another month, it'll be almost gone. So as you, just gorgeous out there today and playing at Old Faces Golf this afternoon out at the Old Canadian.
Very nice.
It's going to be a beauty day for that. So I haven't played much golf. Have you played much golf this summer?
I wouldn't say I've played a lot. Yeah. I think I've played 6 or 7 times. Looking for new clubs as well.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I'm hopefully going to get hooked up by the end of the year so that I can go into next year, play more. And I got about, 13, 14-year-old clubs. And the technology, Cam was good enough to let me use his earlier this year.
Oh, okay, cool. And you notice a big difference?
Oh, massive difference. Okay. Not too many left-handed people out there. So it was nice that Cam was allowed me
to
use clubs.
Well, JR says there's more and more lots in Canada, right, based on hockey? There's more lefties playing here than other places?
Yeah, I guess, but then you'd be surprised that, trying to find left-handed clubs and good ones and people club fitting and that sort of stuff. So some texts coming in here, wrenches. Need some simmer advice, please.
Yeah.
14-hour layover in Vienna or Brussels, both about 9 p.m. till 11 a.m. Also, a wrench, please, to layover is not long enough to leave the airport. So he's looking, same flight, no matter where he's going, Matt, 14-hour layover. Would you pick Vienna or Brussels?
Well, I've never been to Brussels, and I'd pick Vienna in a heartbeat. First city I really traveled to a lot and also spent the 1996 World Championships were in Vienna. I spent 2 full weeks there, stayed right next to the opera, right at St. Stephen's Platz. Was beautiful weather, one of my favorite cities on the planet, so I would do that. Now, the Vienna airport is a little outside town. What's interesting, if you drive from there to downtown, as you know, Lee, you could also drive to Bratislava in about the same time as you could go downtown. And that confused me because my first time to Europe in 1987, we went to Switzerland, played some exhibition games, stayed up in the mountains. Then we came down, flew from Zurich to Vienna, which isn't very far. I wonder why we did that. But anyways, and then we bused from Vienna to Bratislava. And at that time, you would go through, and there were mountains on either side, and all of a sudden you got to the Iron Curtain. You were right there, and there were guns all over the place, and they pulled our whole bus apart, and then we drove into Bratislava. And when
really?
I was there 10 years ago, I was driving, I was getting ready with my passport, and all of a sudden I looked around, I'm like, God, I'm in Bratislava. And of course, they're part of the European Union, so there is no more border anymore, not to mention the fall of communism. But I'm big on Vienna. Incredible art history, cool town. Just, oh man, what a great place to kind of cruise around. So go Vienna all day long, only by default. Like I said, I've never been to, I don't think I've flown through Brussels Airport anyway, so go Vienna.
Okay, well, there you go, Matt. There's some similar advice for you. Reverse wrench to Big Red for finally playing the Friday song on time.
I'll run it by the boys.
From another Matt. Uber C writes in, I'm still playing with my clubs purchased from a garage sale in 1986. Maybe 15 then.
Yeah, I like that, though. That's not bad. I mean, if you get used to them, you know, whatever you're comfortable with. But I agree. Technology
is so far along that when I hit Cam's clubs, it was just, oh, my God. This is the way a golf ball is supposed to come off the club. Wrench to
feeling that massive sweet spot.
Yeah, exactly. Wrench to you both, as I want lobster and a Cronenberg at 7:30 in the morning.
I'll be eating salmon tartare with the blueberry pie.
Oh, nice call right there.
Yeah.
Is that Mario Tremblay? From one of the, I think that's a head-to-head Skip the Dishes commercial with Patrick Roy. And I dined with Mario back in the day.
Come on.
Oh, yeah. We were scouting. Myself being the fourth wheel. We were in Zurich for the World Championships in 98, actually, because that's here we went to the finals. Mm-hmm. And I had a chance to go with Pete Mihaljevic, Michel Goulet, and Mario Tremblay. And we went out to Chateau Gruyere, which is a castle just outside of Zurich. We had a beautiful cheese fondue. That's what Chateau Gruyere, of course, is known for, Lee, as you know. A little bit clogged up for a few days, but what a meal. And in the case of the lobster, head over to Merivale Seafood, ask for Joe. I go with 2 1.5-pounders, and then I go with the shrimp. Now, the real key, as you know, Lee, when you're doing the shrimp and you're doing the lobster, never start off with the lobster, right?
Oh, no.
Yeah, because first of all, the lobster is so exquisite that if you have the lobster first, the shrimp basically feels like you're eating your shoe. So what you do is start out with a nice shrimp cocktail there. Like to go four.
It's almost like dessert.
Yeah, exactly. I like to go 4 to 6, and you do that. And then all of a sudden, nice, you know, they even have their own cocktail sauce there. So you do the shrimp. Mm-hmm. Joel will fix you up nice. Then I do the lobster. Like I said, I crack them out myself, cut it up, put it in the freezer, just to cool it down nicely. And then you do that with a little butter, a side of pasta. And if you just use a little bit of garlic and butter on the pasta there to kind of mix it in, Lee, it's a nice little
with
side
dish. With the lobster?
Oh, well, yeah, as a side dish, sure, yeah, for sure.
With you until the pasta.
Well, like, no, but you're not always going to be fully just from having the shrimp and the pot and the lobster. You got to have a little side of something there. What are you going with? Baked potato, French fries, salad?
I'm probably going with a salad. I just love lobster so much.
Oh yeah,
but they don't want anything else to take away from it.
No, it won't though.
But I couldn't agree with you more about. Why would you ever do shrimp after the lobster?
Well, yeah, no, I say that because
terrible mistake.
No, I think I made the mistake of that once. And it, as I said, it just was really. And then the other thing that's really good that you can do there, first of all, scallops are always nice. But the other one is doing a nice calamari, but it's the one that's not breaded. So it really, it's kind of a flat.
Not a breaded calamari.
No. Like you have good stuff, Lee. You don't got to camouflage it, right? Too much sauce, too much breading is a sign of something bad's happening.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Kentucky Fried Chicken exists. Now, in the case of the calamari here, it's just the grilled one. You just do that with a little bit of side. No, not much of a side, but a little bit of dip, maybe. But a little bit of lemon on it and some salt and pepper. Man, she's tasty. So that's a nice little seafood meal right there.
Okay, well, you're going to have to explain this, Cam. Okay? Text comes in here at 12-1200. A Gloria wrench to you, Cam, for being such a massive baseball fan, they felt the need to ghost his baseball team and never speak to us again, from Cody the Breadman.
We are junkie now.
I wasn't the glory.
What happened
wrench.
There, Camster? What happened?
Is he talking about just the rare occurrence of 2 off days in a row? Is that what he means?
No. I think he's in referencing like you playing baseball.
You play baseball?
I played growing up, yes.
Well, that's what I mean.
Yeah. Have you ghosted all
your
friends?
Your buds?
So I mean, I can't play with this job. I work like majority of nights.
They want to hear from you.
Yeah,
they want a text.
Like,
it doesn't matter that you're playing.
So I played men's league 1 year. I didn't think I developed relationships that were kind of worth. I guess nurturing. I guess
Now this is what happens.
Yeah.
Now you're famous, Cam, and that's what happens. People from the past all of a sudden are your best buddy.
Yeah.
Hey?
Well, I was gonna say they thought they nourished relationships with you, and you're not feeling the same.
And the bread man. Next
the bread
thing
man's
you know,
not happy.
Next text to you will be: do you have any Sens tickets available?
Merivale Fish Market's my friend's dad's place. Great spot. They make amazing fish and chips. Triple D, I usually wouldn't read two in a row.
Yeah,
from
they
are, you,
no, and they,
but that's a good one.
Yeah, a real good spot to dine in. They get all kinds of different specials, different dishes. Real good spot. My buddy Charles actually has his office underneath there, and yeah, it's just. And as I said, during COVID, I've just done a whole lot more takeout. And like I say, he'll steam those lobsters up nice, you know, and then do a little shrimp on the side. They'll chill the shrimp down. You bring it home. You make a little feast there, and absolutely this weekend. I don't think today, tomorrow I'm working in the evening, but I think Sunday, that's going to be a little seafood feast.
Oh, fantastic. Best calamari ever, Amalfi Coast in Italy.
Oh, I could only imagine, and I could only be jealous to imagine, yeah, how incredible that must end up being.
That's the word, jealous.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
To go there.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to Italy?
No. No Italy, no Greece. I've been to northern Italy just briefly and crossed over from Switzerland and connected through, but not enough to say I've ever spent any time, Lee. So would love to go there. Love to go to Greece, Spain, all three of those places. Everywhere I kind of traveled was obviously hockey related.
Mm-hmm.
So those would be three on the bucket list and places I want to end up going.
Wrench for Simmer for eating corn the way
Give
he does.
Give the Canadians just the smallest break. Allow them to win one at home.
Oh,
I never wish that the Lightning lost.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. You know, I think that was the mayor of Tampa Bay back in the day.
Might as well just eat it out of a can, the rest of the text says.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree. But it's just that's what I enjoy. And like I said, I like to mix it around where it's just, yeah, it's not comfortable for me. And I want it to be, I like my corn mixed in with my meal. So when I slice it off there, I'm technically getting...
What? Well, hold on. You put the corn right in the middle of the rest of the meal?
Well...
Like you don't eat it separately?
No. I mean separately in a sense of a lot of people will have their corn before their meal or kind of after their meal.
Oh, okay.
All I'm saying is that if I'm having a nice, say I was going with scallop potatoes.
Right. You're having it at the same time.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, of course.
So, yeah,
okay.
That's all. And I find it harder to do it. And I have an absolute, and it's gotten better. But when I eat any type of meat when I'm at a restaurant... I have a real hard time there having anything stuck in my teeth just because I have one of my great fetishes is floss sticks and flossing all the time. So
okay.
I don't like that feeling at all.
Hey, boys. The Seven Wonders of the Industrial World is a BBC documentary series of 1 hour episodes featuring the Hoover Dam, the Panama Canal, London Sewer System, Brooklyn Bridge, Bell Rock Lighthouse, the Great Eastern Ship, and American Transcontinental Rail Line. A very good watch from Sheldon.
Yeah, and Sheldon, thank you. And I did watch all of them. And the fascination with this ship was it was this massive just steel thing. They didn't even know by the time they built it. I think it was double hull done. First of all, they ran out of money. They ended up being broke, Lee. They didn't even know if it would float. And so, yeah, all of those are really, really well done and fun to watch. So thank you for updating that.
Yeah,
I totally
that's a great
agree.
Text. I didn't know about that. So that's something that would interest me. A lot.
Yeah.
And
the other ones kind of in that one is there's one on called Rotten, which is kind of about that's one of the one the maple syrup heist is in. And so some different things there that have a couple of seasons, detail some different things and end up being some pretty good watches. More food related on this one and kind of how everything ends up being kind of mafia run. Anything from avocados to maple syrup to sugar, anything that anything where there's money, Lee.
And one more here. I lost it for a second. Good morning, guys. Do a little research about when they flooded the St. Lawrence River. 7 towns wiped off the map in our own backyard.
I didn't know that. Wow.
I didn't know that either.
Interesting, last week we went up to Cottage, Lee, and we took the route through Hawkesbury, and
yep.
We crossed over. We went
yep.
through Mirabel,
yep.
And I was explaining to Mira how Mirabel Airport did exactly that, where they basically seized homes back in the day, right?
Yeah.
To build this magnificent airport that never, ever, ever got off the ground, right? I mean, the thing is pretty much only used for FedEx and I think a little bit of military at this point.
All right, we'll take a break. And when we come back, we'll talk a little World Juniors. And then it will be Liam McGuire joining us. We'll talk about the National Capital Hockey Show. Paul Henderson, Yvonne Cornwallier are going to be there, and Liam's going to interview them. He'll talk some World Juniors as well. That's at 8:15 as we roll along here. TSN Mornings on TSN 1200.